Welcome to Conversations in Cannabis. Today's episode marks the third part in a series of sessions for our end-of-the-year wrap-up. The Hall of Flowers sessions features interviews from some of California's top brands conducted during the Hall of Flowers NorCal and SoCal events. In this session, we spoke with Brian Buckley, CEO and co-founder of Los Angeles-based Hellman Valley Growers Company. We sat down with Brian to talk about everything from his transition to cannabis, as well as the biggest problems plaguing veterans, and how the Battle Brothers Foundation is helping to change lives. All this and more on this episode of Conversations in Cannabis.
I really want to start off with kind of what your original approach was to wanting to start a cannabis company. Being somebody who's a veteran, cannabis especially, it's almost a meme from the from the Vietnam era of soldiers smoking cannabis while they're in the jungle. But it has real medical benefits for a lot of people coming back who have a lot of the problems that, you know, are obviously ailments of soldiers in the field. Being somebody who came from the field, what made you want to start a cannabis brand versus just being a consumer?
So I never touched cannabis growing up. Not that I ever had a problem with it. It just wasn't my thing. Then we had a really rough deployment in 2012. This is not anything to brag about, but I had a high-ranking military official tell me this has been the bloodiest summer for special operation forces since the Vietnam War. So we were kind of doing everything what typical vets do. We've come back from combat. That's when everything kind of slows down and you see some empty bar stools and you realize your buddies aren't coming back. I was wounded while I was in Afghanistan, became 100% disabled. And, you know, we were trying to answer a lot of problems at the bottom of the bottle, which is just not good. So our director of cultivation and another Marine Raider, Andy Myers, he was just looking really good one week. And I'm like, hey, like, what's going on? Where are you up to? And he's like, all right, you're ready for this. He's like, I gave up a fifth of Jack for a joint. And you're like, whoa. And he's like, no, hear me out. He's like, I'm not drinking and driving. I'm not blacking out. I wake up in the morning, I feel good. And he goes, furthermore, I'm actually becoming a cultivator and it's helped me transition from a warrior to a gardener. So I thought that was really powerful. And loving Andy the way I do, I'm like, well, let me try some of this. And it was the first time I got a full night of sleep in I don't know how long. So I sat and thought about it. I'm like, there's a lot of great veteran advocacy groups out there. But what do we have to do to move the dial? So when I talked to members of Congress back in 2016, I just said, what do we have to do to get medical cannabis into the VA system? They're like, if you can get data and if you can get American doctors, you're going to have a good argument. So I partnered with a firm called Niomedic Healthcare and Research Services out of Israel. And we started looking at how we could do this. And we didn't want to work with the NIDA program. We knew we weren't going to get any federal grants. And really, we saw a Paul Newman salad dressing bottle where it said 100% of profits to charity. So we talked to our lawyers and CPA. They're like, you can totally do it. Whatever you got left over at the end of the month, that is your profits. So we started pushing that. We developed our brand, Hellman Valley Growers Company, with the sole purpose that can help fund our veteran medical cannabis research initiative. And with our first $50,000 worth of profits, we paid it for a study design to be developed. And that was submitted to an institutional review board. And about a year later, it got approved. And what's significant about an IRB means we've been cleared to do human trials with medical cannabis. And then after that, UC Irvine jumped on board. So now we got our American face. So the Israelis will be doing the research with our veterans while UC Irvine Health is just kind of sitting there documenting everything and validating that is true, that is true, that is true. So it was kind of almost a means to an end, if you will. We're like, never really thought I was going to start a cannabis brand, but in order to achieve this mission, we wanted to do it, get our name out there, get support financially through people buying our products. And what I love most about this study is I tell everyone, this is not like my study or just Battle Brothers study. This is a whole cannabis community study because they're the ones who helped us get there. And a great byproduct of once we prove the benefits, so this is not going to be federally legal for veterans. It's going to be federal legal for every patient that needs it. So this is going to, I think, change the whole dynamic of the medical landscape.
Are you sad that the VA has taken a long time to kind of get into the point where they're able to say, hey, you know, veterans are able to benefit from medical cannabis? I mean, even in states where it was already medically legal, the VA still wasn't supporting it. Are you surprised that it took that long?
No, I'm not. I always say things about the VA. I think they're doing the best they can with what they have. But people need to understand they're a federal agency, and this thing's a Schedule I narcotic. So they're like, what can we do? Now, you'll talk to VA doctors off the record, and they're like, man, I really hope your research works, because all we kind of have is our opiates and we got money, you know, and that's kind of the thing. And we're like, we know it's not that great. Actually, one of the doctors from the UC Irvine team used to work at the VA, and she was telling me, you know, once they said, okay, opiates are bad, doing what we typically do, we knee jerk. So they just cut them off cold turkey. And one of her veterans committed suicide from that. So she's like, this thing is so near and dear to my heart. So I think just by us doing our work, I think we'll move a little bit more fast. I love the free market. You know, I always tell people, do you think Elon Musk or Tesla would be where it is right now if it was a government program? No way. That's called the free market, and people make things happen. And that's why I think with us kind of pushing it on the research side, doing it, you've got to have other organizations like University of Pennsylvania is going to get on board with doing their research. I think they're going to get hit with so much data proving it works that they're not going to be able to deny it anymore.
Well, when you're looking at the federal government, you know, you have obviously the DEA that has their deal with Ole Miss and their federal program. But when you're talking about research, it is completely lacking.
Yes.
And it's only coming from private states now that have already legalized it on some end. You mentioned Pennsylvania. I'm talking to a lot of people over there that are doing research. Yeah. You mentioned Israel, Tikkun Olam, obviously a leader over there and doing research. But with our federal government, what is a way, in your opinion, that the federal government can get on board with doing more research to help support, say, the state studies or the local municipalities that are doing studies?
Well, I think as like the studies start coming out and they start looking at rescheduling, that's the first hurdle. They can knock it down to a Schedule 3. One, that helps out 280E and all the tax stuff, but then that opens up to more research. Even in Schedule 2, people can start doing it and get into it. So I think that's the first big step. But again, we've been advocating for so long with the politicians, they're kind of dug in where they are. And let's be honest, I mean, I'm a fan of term limits. You know, you got a lot of politicians who've been there for 30, 40 years, and I'm not sure if they know what a price of a gallon of milk is right now. So they kind of lose touch. So we got to kind of throw some of the weight on our back and do it and just be like, here it is. What are we doing? And let them, the lawmakers, start reducing things on the schedule side and just kind of open it up more.
Well, in looking at cannabis, traditionally it's been, you know, more liberal states that have that have been cannabis friendly. Obviously, California with 215, kind of the forefront on the medical side. Now you're seeing a lot more conservative states getting into it. Obviously, the largest one that popped that surprised the hell out of me that's already gone has gone full scale is Oklahoma.
Oh yeah,
I mean the fact that you can get a license for $2,500.
Yeah, it's they kind of have it. You know, like I mean they've been in, like everyone joked like they were in a hyper growth 3 years ago and almost like they still are, and I think they've really figured out the tax play too, where it's good for both consumer and provider, where people aren't getting crushed. And, you know, they didn't have the hurdles like a California did with a Prop 215, where it kind of started off as a collective, and then people started making shops, and it kind of maybe spun a little bit out of control to the point where I can talk to a member of the LA City Council. I'm like, how many illegal dispensaries do you have? And he's like, I have no idea, but there's more of them than there are Starbucks, to put it in perspective.
Yeah.
So that's where it's been great, I think, with some of the other states, because they have a blank canvas and they can kind of control a little bit more, where California, we're trying to wheel things in, and obviously our high tax is not helping motivate people to come over to the list to the legal market. So those are some of the things that I kind of look at right now.
Well, and our legacy market in California is obviously prolific and long running. I mean, Northern California has had a history of cannabis that stretches back generations.
Absolutely.
When you're looking at the problems of, say, those legacy growers, I mean, we're in Northern California right now, and when you're looking at these farmers that are traditional farmers that, say, maybe don't have $1 million to meet compliance to get into the industry at this point, I mean, back when it was a little bit easier, but still not easy, what would you like to see the BCC, or now it's combined, the DCC, do for, say, legacy operators who maybe do want to enter the market?
I think they really need to get on board and talk about taxation. That is always the biggest hurdle, where you talk to people who are in the legacy market and they're like, for what? Why would I do it? I'm still making a lot of money. I don't really get, if you get caught, it's not really that big of a deal. And they all want to kind of go the legal side, but they're like, I just can't afford it. So I think things like that is something they can control or lobby at least to say, hey, we're telling you guys, this isn't working this way. Like, stop looking at spreadsheets and we have this many things, we'll get that much money. I mean, you got to look at it. I think last year they said the legal market in California did about $4 billion. They think the illicit did about $8
billion. Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of tax revenue. It's almost do a Costco, a volume play. You lower taxes, get a lot more people in. It's going to be a lot more money coming back at you at the end of the day.
Or would you, I mean, just out of curiosity, would you prefer, say, like just a sales tax model where it's minimal taxation on, say, the vertical chain and it's only the sales tax which stands?
Yeah. Yeah. I think just treat like any other regular business. You know, even on the medical side, you got to look at, do people pay taxes on their medicine?
That's insane.
You know, you can even compare it to the alcohol industry, what they're paying compared to us. If we're getting compared to alcohol, yeah, we're paying a heck of a lot more than they are.
And when you're talking about the illicit market, say the fastest growing demographic in for medical reasons, which is interesting, is the 55 plus demographic. Yeah. And you have products on the shelves that are, you know, $55, $60.
Yes.
And that's a base price pre-tax here in California. And that kind of weans people away from the industry. Do you feel like if taxation was fixed, that would help not just the general consumer market? Obviously, that would be a help. But yeah, do you feel like it would help the medical market in trying to lower those price points so people that can't afford the meds can then come in, maybe try something?
Tremendously. You know, I got to quote a gentleman named Sean Kiernan from Weed for Warriors. And he did a really nice article. It was in Forbes probably half a year ago. But it was when the MORE Act was coming out. And they were talking about putting a federal tax from 5% that would mature into an 8% by year 3. And he did the math. And he's like, you know, you get some veterans who need like 3 grams a day. You're literally going to ask them to pay half their disability payment if they're 100% disabled to buy their medicine. So yeah, reducing all that is just the morally right thing to do. Plus, you know, I tell everyone, don't get so focused on the tax side. You got to look at a safety side. Because again, in California, you don't know if you're walking to a trap shop or not. If you're not a sophisticated cannabis buyer, I've literally had people walk into a store and they're like, oh, you know, this and that. I'm like, those are fake. I mean, we've literally gone into some stores and taken two products to a lab. We said, we bought this from a trap shop. Mm-hmm. This is not our oil. We kept it away from our oil, but can you just do a test on it and see what it is? They called us up and they're like, tell us that's nowhere near any of your regular stuff. We're like, no. They're like, well, listen, it's two different well-known brands. I'm not going to say who they were. The COAs were identical. So basically whoever did this just chopped it up and said, I'll put it in that box and that box. And there's literally things in there that could kill a human being. And we're like, so that is even another part, is the safety aspect, where you get people who only are tight on money. Right now, with inflation going crazy and everything, you're going to force them into an unsafe environment that might do more harm to their body. There was not one case during the whole quote-unquote vape crisis last year or whatever in 2019 of a legal dispensary selling oil that got someone sick or killed them. It was all coming from the trap shops.
Right. I mean, it was vitamin E acetate.
Yep.
They were trying to boost up their product.
And 100%.
When you have legal cannabis operators, they don't necessarily need to do that. When you have, you know, these trap operators, yeah, they're going to cut every single corner in order to make as much as they can.
100%. And if you're doing it the right way and you get a third-party state test, it won't be approved. So you got to do everything the right way, make sure it's consumable for humans, and everything will be great at that point.
Well, and I love your products. I want to admit, I was vaping your live resin carts all the way up here to Santa Rosa.
Or fantastic.
I shouldn't admit that. I was a passenger. But no, I mean, when you're talking about a quality product and you're talking about, you know, having a quality product in a market that's dealing with things like Vapegate, you know, or the quote unquote Vapegate, how do you combat that as a licensed operator and say, hey, my product has nothing to do with what's going on in the news?
Yeah, I really think it's the education side. And you just kind of get out. We try to get out in front of as many people as we can and tell our story and tell them about that stuff. You know, like CannaSafe gave a great demo, I think, 2 years ago. And they're like, hey, a real quick way to check if this thing is not all there, flip your cart upside down. It really shouldn't move for like another 10 to 15 minutes. If you all of a sudden start seeing the oil moving in it, it's cut and it's illegal. So you really just want to tell people like, hey, go get your medical card. You'll get a little bit of reduction on taxes on that. And then just make sure you're buying something from a legal market, because again, it's out there and there's bad people out there and they don't care. They're just looking at the money. Right. Here, we're a mission with a brand, or a brand with a mission. You know, it's Hellman Valley is a for-profit company, but we like to say it's a for-purpose, to drive to our end state to prove the benefits of medical cannabis and to make it federally legal.
And you guys, again, you guys have a fantastic product and you're doing it for a fantastic reason. The fact that you support your 503C in order to help rehabilitate soldiers who are coming back from the front lines, I mean, when you're looking at soldiers who are coming home currently from Afghanistan or something like that, and you're looking at it as a vet who uses medical cannabis, how would you best relay to veterans how, you know, obviously through your 503C, but for those who are just listening, how can somebody best transition back into normal life after dealing with something like that?
Yeah, and that's one of the things we're really proud about with Bauer Brothers Foundation. You know, I tell people, it's like, cannabis isn't for everyone, but should be a tool in the toolkit. And you got to approach this with a holistic approach, kind of mind, body, spirit. So what we like to do is, you know, we have a personal aspect where if you are active duty, you're transitioning into veteran life or getting back into civilian life, it's a lot more difficult than you realize. And you don't realize until you're pretty much halfway through and you're like, oh man, you're stressed, you lost your identity, you might not know what to do with your life. And we kind of like to be there for some of a mentor thing. And then on the medical side, we help out VA disability claims, or if vets are suffering with opiate, alcohol, post-traumatic stress, all the above, we have treatment centers we can get them to. And obviously we're doing medical cannabis research, but the last phase is our economic phase. And that's to help find the veteran a job that they love, something they want to do. It's kind of like the high school guidance counselor. You got $1 million. What do you want to do with your life? And at that point, when they find something they really truly believe in, they're really passionate about, now they have that same sense of purpose like they did while they served our nation. And hopefully we can help avoid a mistake they can't come back from. And that's what we love about our company, Hellman Valley Growers Company, because we are bringing in veterans. I'll be the first one to say cannabis saved my life, not just the product itself, but this company. Because I was working for a really nice company, making a lot of money, but it just wasn't fulfilling my needs, what I needed to do. I didn't have that purpose. Now I do. And now I'm loving everything about it. So it's really help the veterans figure out what's best for them and get them in that direction. Because after all, they went forward and fought for us. Now it's time for them to go and live their American dream. And we got to fight for them.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm really happy that, you know, education is starting to come to the forefront of cannabis. People are starting to learn that, hey, THC maybe isn't the end-all, be-all for what cannabis is. Yeah. It's more about the totality of the plant, the entourage effects, so absolutely, the terpene profile. What do you feel like the future of this industry is?
Oh, I think it's, you know, unlimited potential. I mean, we have not even touched this thing. And again, once the data comes out and they understand the effects, and I think once pharmaceuticals understand, hey, we can buy these companies and do that, I think that'll help out legislation as well. But I think just ultimately, you know, what this plan is doing, I mean, God, you know, we just don't know how much. I mean, I always talk about, like, Newt Gingrich, I think, one time said, he's like, if we had a doctor run into the Amazon and come out with a cannabis plant, we'd probably be giving them Nobel Prizes left and right, because there's so many things this plant could do, and we just don't know yet. So as we get in and start understanding more, I just think it's going to completely change the medical landscape for our country. And even, too, on, like, the quote-unquote recreational side, I tell people, what's the big deal? You know, if you go home and have 3 martinis, anyone going to have a problem with that? Probably not. You're going to probably wake up not feeling $100, but you'll get through it. Okay, so what if someone smokes half a joint? Big deal. Is this a way they're going to decompress, relax? And how many times do you think police have been called to someone's house for domestic abuse over cannabis? It never happens. It's always over the alcohol. So I just think, you know, as we're all getting older, people are starting to understand how really, truly powerful this plant is. You know, and to your point, you're saying the 55-year-old demographic. I mean, we're seeing a lot of Vietnam veterans who are now retiring, and they have those kind of lull moments where their mind's not busy, and they start reflecting on things back in their past, and they're starting to have some issues that they suppressed. So I think now even, too, they're starting to come on board. But as we, this generation, grows up, we get more people like us into the Congress and everything, I think the doors just get open up because we understand this is something beautiful and it's going to be something amazing for our country.
Well, I look forward to seeing what you guys are going to bring to the table. What are we looking for from you guys in Q4 of 2021?
So Q4, we're looking to launch a flower line here. So we'll probably get out by the end of Q4. Really, our research is going to kick off. So that's going to be that's going to take up a lot of manpower on that side. But we're real excited. I mean, the beginning of next year, we'll have our micro business up and going, where we want to bring more veterans in to learn with Andy and start cultivating or do whatever. And I just think it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of hard work. But I mean, I'm blessed every day I wake up, and every time before I go to bed, I think to myself, what have I done for a veteran today? And that's what drives us.
Well, I appreciate you for your service, and I appreciate you for what you're doing for the cannabis industry here in California.
Awesome. Thank you.
Dr. Brian, really appreciate it.
We would like to thank Brian for his time and being on today's episode. You can find out more about Hellman Valley Growers Company by visiting them online at www.hellmanvalleygrowers.com. hvgcompany.com. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll see you here on the next episode of Conversations in Cannabis.